All right, we've got the mayor. Okay, great. 16 minutes after 7 o'clock, Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I am fine, thank you. I understand you are traveling today.
Going to give a speech in Florida to encourage people there to vote to have redistricting be done fairly. And it's something that if they do it in Florida, and I'm told that the public seems to be in favor of enacting this law, maybe we'll do that here.
And who would be the determinant as to the definition of fair?
They have some system where you can make sure that everybody is as represented as possible. Keep in mind, there are one of the problems with redistricting is that the federal government's laws say that while it should be fair, if one ethnic group, which is spread out, winds up with not having any representation or any of their favorite people in office, then you have to go back to the drawing boards. This is one of the most complex things, and it's a big issue.
I was going to say, well, it is a big issue because it is one of those things that makes it more difficult. I mean, there's benefits, obviously, but it makes it more difficult to make changes.
Well, listen, if there were simple solutions, John, to complex problems, we would have solved them.
So you would have
solved them on the radio. Your father would have, or your grandfather.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, good luck on that one. Will you be giving the same speech in New York, or is this?
If asked to do, I'd be happy.
Okay.
It's going down, and the guy that asked me to do it is Manny Diaz, who used to be the mayor of Miami. Really a good guy who. Cuban background, I think. He's been, I think, born and lived all his life in Florida, but a really good guy.
City parks and the no smoking, that's the city council's taking this up, and they're talking about no smoking zones. That seems sort of silly to me.
I think the zones don't work. It would cost a lot to enforce. The bottom line is the public, this really is one of those programs that came from the public rather than from government side. The public does not like, and they call a lot and complain, don't like somebody sitting on a blanket upwind of them smoking on a beach or in a park. And they keep complaining and complaining and complaining. Now, I've always believed if you want to smoke, you should have a right to do that. I don't think the government should take away your right. I don't think it's a smart thing to do because we all know evidence is rock solid that smoking kills. But the bottom line is if you want to, that's fine. But if somebody else has to breathe your smoke, that gets to be the problem. And we don't allow it in the workplace because we don't want somebody to have to pick between their job and their health. When this is not your job, you could get up and move. But people complain on the beaches, the cigarette butts, and the packs, and the same thing in the parks.
I liked your idea this week that was announced about the using of the zip cars and rental cars to replace or obviously make available to your staff where you don't have to buy the cars. This is almost privatizing it, isn't it?
Yes. In this case, we would not own these cars, the Zip Car Company. And there was a public process to a number of companies wanted to have the franchise. Zip Car won it. But the idea is that they would buy the cars, they maintain them, and we use them during the day, and then they use them at night and the weekends. Their business is renting out cars. So you just go call them up, and it's actually the Zip Car concept is pretty easy. They tell you where the car is, and you go over, you stick your car in, the door opens, and you drive it, and you leave it. It's apparently a very successful program. It's similar to, in Paris, renting a bike, where you stick your credit card in, you get it one place, and then you leave it at another place. But this has apparently been done in a number of cities in the United States. And I brought in this guy, Steve Goldsmith, whose specialty is reducing costs. He and Jeanette Fedekon, in this case, the commissioner for Department of Transportation, came up with this idea. If it works, we can do it for a lot. The city has an enormous number of cars.
Yeah, well, 22,000 or something.
Well, it's a question of how you count the number. In terms of the cars that would be suitable, obviously you can't do it with a police car. It's got lights and sirens and all that sort of stuff. But the cars that inspectors use to go, let's say, to inspect a building or something, those are just regular cars. And there's nothing magical about who owns it or who maintains it.
It started me to thinking, Mayor Bloomberg, would it make any sense, you and I have discussed privatizing or selling off assets that the city has is a very bad idea, but would it make any sense to do the police cars, do all of it through a company so that the city really has no cash investment?
Well, we're going to take a look. We are going to combine the motor pools of all of these agencies that have non-specialized cars. For example, fire trucks and garbage trucks are so specialized you don't need privatizing that probably doesn't make any sense, although there may very well be a company that wants to do it and has the expertise. But the general police car or car that the buildings department uses, Cole Goldsmith, just do it. And we're going to get it done, and we're going to have one pool, and we will manage it to start. But if it turns out that the private companies want to come in and provide a service cheaper than we can, we're going to do it. The bottom line is we have a $3 billion deficit going into next year, and we've got to close it. And we either lay off people or we find efficiencies. We either provide fewer services or we find ways to do it, do them cheaper. And every agency is going to be part of this. You know, some will fight and yell and scream they can't do it. That's not going to be a very good argument with them.
I've been meaning to ask you about this for a couple of weeks and just haven't gotten to it because we've had other things to talk about. But again, ACS has this unfortunate, horrible situation. This Marcello Pierce, the four-year-old that was killed,
yep.
and there was an oversight issue. Now there's a grand jury sitting on this. We've heard these stories over the years. Is it just too hard to do this with no mistakes?
It is not too hard. It is impossible. You have a child that is where the parents are not there or dysfunctional. You can move that child, take the child away from the parents, and give it to a foster parent. But some foster parents turn out to not be very good. And when we do it, it's up to the courts. We go to the court and we say, look, we believe that these parents can't take care of the kid. The kid's life is in danger. The state has an obligation to take that child away from the parents. Needless to say, the courts don't like doing it very often. You do it only when the child's life is really threatened. The trouble is you're never sure. And sometimes the courts and the ACS make a decision that, no, the kid's better off with the parents, which is what you'd really like to have them do, stay with the parents, and then it's a mistake. It turns out that the parent causes their death. Sometimes you move them to a foster home, and it turns out that the person that is responsible for them also does something, and the child winds up dead. There is no right answer. We are lucky in this city. We have a guy who runs ACS, John Mattingly, and he is, I keep asking and asking around this country, this guy is the be-all and end-all in terms of knowing how to take care of children. Did he make mistakes and his agency make mistakes? Absolutely. You will always do it. Now, in the case you just talked about, it may very well be that some of the people working in ACS, the allegation is anyways, that they never went and did what they said they were going to do in terms of going to the home and making sure the child was safe, and the allegation is they either didn't do any paperwork or made up the paperwork, I forget which. But, you know, will the court sort that out? But the basic answer to your question is, unfortunately, in the real world, there's no right answer, and you will always find yourself occasionally looking back and saying, you know, I wish that I had known that that was going to happen, but God doesn't give you that option. You have to go and make decisions and do what you think is right, and that's what the ACS does, and they do as good a job, I think, in the real world as anybody.
Must be pleased, because I know that you are against the idea of mandatory sick days. The city council has shelved that idea.
It'd be nice if people had paid sick days. But it's not nice if the companies have to pay for it and can't afford it. You can make the intellectual argument that maybe the government shouldn't be involved, But at this point in time, when we're trying to put people back to work, and small businesses are the key to people working, because big companies can, with technology and focus, they can always downsize and stay lean and mean for a long time. Small companies are where the new job creation is, and the just most important thing is giving people a dignity of a job. So it's just not the right time to put added costs on small companies. And that's a lot of the yelling and screaming you hear around the country with the health care bill that was passed by Congress, that there are costs on small companies that they just can't afford. And in fact, the government for some companies says, it's so onerous, we'll give you a waiver, you don't have to follow parts of the health care bill for a period of time. And they've done it with, I know McDonald's, I've read in the paper, that has, you know, lots and lots of part-time workers and workers that come and go. For some reason or other, the federal government gave one of the unions an exemption. They didn't have to do it. But the bottom line, and you know, those are big companies, big unions, but the bottom line is that small companies just don't need any more expenses at this point in time. The economy is too fragile. At the moment, earnings seem to be going well for a lot of big companies, but it's to efficiencies, and that doesn't add jobs, which is what we're trying to get them to do.
Were you concerned yesterday with the reports of the UFO over Chelsea?
Well, I think it's fair to say it was a UFO. I don't think there's any question about it. It was an unidentified flying object, which is what UFO stands for. I think what it probably was, there's somebody up in Westchester, they had a retirement party or an engagement party or something of a bunch of balloons. The bunch of balloons got away, and that's what you probably saw over New York City. But it certainly gave everybody something to talk about.
Well, yes, and then there are those that are continuing to talk about it, that explanation is just a ruse to cover the truth. But
those are the same people that think we never went to the moon. It was all done in a studio in Hollywood. And you know, John, we're never going to know.
We're never going to know. Mr. Mayor, I'll let you go. Our abbreviated conversation. We'll see you next Friday.
Looking forward to it. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, my friend. Michael Bloomberg, 29 minutes after 7 o'clock. Alvin, let's do a little traffic and weather real fast. We'll do a couple of commercials, then we'll get to the news. JJ?